It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
You know, we throw around the word hero a lot. You know, Aaron Judge, he's a hero. Bruce Springsteen, he's a hero. We have on the telephone line a bona fide...
An actual hero.
Yes, he's a bona fide American hero. And I'm talking about Fred Hayes. Now, Fred is a former NASA astronaut. He flew as lunar module pilot on Apollo 13. Apollo 13 was the seventh crewed mission in the Apollo space program and the third meant to land on the moon. But the craft was launched from Kennedy Space Center on April 11th, 1970. But the lunar landing was aborted after an oxygen tank in the service module failed in the mission. I mean, you talk about bravery,
bravery,
anxiety, yeah. Scary. The crew instead looped around the moon and returned safely to Earth on April the 17th. Now, to celebrate the anniversary today, Fred Hayes joins us. He's a former NASA astronaut, and he flew as lunar module pilot on Apollo the 13. And Mr. Hayes, it's an honor to have you here on our show. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are things up in the Northeast today?
Not bad at all. We're doing okay. You know, like I say, we're all going through the same thing with this coronavirus thing. But as far as Melissa and I go, we've been working each and every day. So it's been good for us here. How are you guys doing where you are?
I'm in Houston, Texas, and it's a big city, so it's had its fair share of cases, although I still don't think it's quite as much as, let's say, New York City has had.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
No, we're hunkered down, I guess, like most of the nation, and pretty much just staying at home here.
Absolutely. Well, you're an American treasure, sir, so please stay safe. Now, your mission started with the launch from Cape Kennedy on April 11th, 1970. Prior to the actual explosion, was all going well? Was everything going as planned at that point?
Pretty much. On the way up off the launch pad, we lost one engine on the second stage. It failed. Didn't fail. It was shut off automatically because of another fluid problem 2 minutes early. So that was the only anomaly we had, and we were coasting along fine, planning at this time of this explosion. We finished a TV show and going to bed, and next morning we're going to wake up and get in lunar orbit, power up the lunar module, and I was going to go land with Jim Lovell.
So, Mr. Hayes, not to bring you back to a sore subject, but I know that you've spoken to a number of reporters over the years. Can you tell us what you remember about the explosion, and how exactly did you save the ship? It's incredible.
Well, first of all, this talk about the explosion was just like a big bang. We were sitting in spacecraft, which are metal hulls, and I had actually was still putting away things we had talked about on the TV show in the lunar module, the landing craft. And I quickly floated up into the capsule and looked at the instrument panel, which had a lot of warning lights on. And one set of instruments I looked at, though, was for the cryogenics, and the oxygen tank on tank two meters showed the needles at the very bottom, which meant we had lost that tank. So I frankly was not worried too much at that point. We had a second oxygen tank, and I thought. And I was just sick with the disappointment because I knew with that loss of even that one tank, we were not going to do the landing.
We are honored to have Fred Hayes here this morning, former NASA astronaut, and he flew on Apollo 13. So many questions to ask. Sir, did you ever have a doubt that you would get back home safely to Earth? I mean, a million things must have been going through your mind at that point. And I don't know how you guys stay so calm in a situation like that. I would have been crying my fool head off.
Yeah. Well, no, you knew before you launched you might not get back. In fact, the normal that way you did it, including fighter squadrons, I was in the Marine Corps, a couple of fighter squadrons, you normally had a designee that was your best friend normally that you designated to take care of your family if one day you didn't get home. And the same way on this mission, I had Jerry Carr over to my house to show him where things were, and his primary duty was to take care of my wife and family if I didn't get back. Of course, he had a lot of help from other astronauts, other astronaut wives, in any case. But on the mission itself, we never got to a point where there was not possibly something else to figure out and do. Not we, but people on the ground to get us through the next gate, if you will. So we never got to the edge of the cliff, so to speak.
Wow.
So I had hopes we'd certainly get back to an entry point. And the biggest concern I had was how the command module would act when it we powered it up, because we seriously abused it, the mothership. It was never meant to be ever turned off in flight. And we had turned it off and froze it for 4 days. In fact, the water tanks in that vehicle was still found frozen when they recovered it on board the aircraft carrier. So that was my biggest concern, is how that vehicle would perform when we powered it back up, which had never been done in flight because it's never meant to be powered off, and would it get us through entry okay? So that was my biggest concern.
I'm going to tell you right now, Tony, next time you and I panic because something goes wrong with this radio station, I'm going to think, well, what would Fred Hayes do? That is
exactly
unbelievable. Yeah. Now, Fred, many of us have seen the movie Apollo 13. We were actually talking about it before. Did you feel that they accurately captured your experience? I always love to hear stories after when they remake the stories into cinematography, because they sometimes will leave things out, or maybe they portray people the wrong way. What were your thoughts on the Apollo 13 movie?
Well, it was a yes, and I got a yes and no answer. The overall story, I thought Ron Howard carried very well. The fact, you know, that we were in trouble, and he did show a team, although it was a limited team, working together to get us home. Like, he showed one mission control team on one shift. Gene Kranz, there actually are four teams that support these missions, four flight directors, four teams. There were a lot of people across the country that got involved with trying to work and solve some of these problems, because we had a huge brain trust. As you know, the vehicles, for instance, were built by manufacturers. So the engineers in North America, and there were engineers at the Grumman plant in New York there. Some of them were called on for consulting, at least, on working some of these problems. So it wasn't just that one shift of mission control like the movie showed. The only other things that I thought a little exaggerated, if you will, were some of the drama things that he put in, like the crew argument. I was worried about Jack Swigert joining the crew that late, 2.5 days before launch. Jim Lovell hugging me, that sort of thing. He explained that by saying, I listened to all the air-to-ground transmissions NASA had given me to review, and it never seemed to me you ever had a problem. So I had to add in some of that to, I think, I don't know if it's the words exactly, but the essence, to humanize us.
Mm.
So that's why some of that was added in.
Well, that's showbiz, I guess, right?
Yeah, right.
How did you feel about
it? It was a good movie. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yes, yes, we all enjoyed it. How did you feel about Bill Paxton portraying you?
It was fine. He was a little nervous about that. I met him before the filming, even. And because he had never played a character that was still alive, a real character, he had played in a shootout at the OK Corral, and he had done movies about people, real people, but they were all gone. The roles he had.
Wow.
So he kind of worried a little bit how I would look at it, or if I'd like it. And I told him it wasn't any problem, Bill. That we really wasn't telling the life story of Gandhi. It was. just six days on this mission.
Well, that's how you see it, Fred. I think everybody else is kind of starstruck and just in awe of how you guys handled it. It's incredible.
It really is. The movie Apollo 13 portrayed you as being sick on the mission. How bad did you feel, or did they exaggerate that too?
No, I was sick. I had developed a lower urinary tract infection, UTI.
And ooh.
If anybody has had one, it's sort of like the flu. You have some chills and fever, and of course it burns when you urinate. But other than that, I was not as bad a shape as the movie. I overplayed that a little bit. I wasn't incapacitated almost as the movie portrayed. You feel bad, but I had no trouble doing whatever I needed to do, including through the entry.
Yeah, and just, you know, not to be too personal, Tony, but they are brutal. UTIs are horrible. It's awful.
Yes, I know.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely horrible. So now this is something that I was interested in, Fred, because as people know, especially by now, you were, of course, a former NASA astronaut. So you were probably going to be pegged to command the Apollo 18 or 19, but those were canceled. What were your feelings about that?
Well, that was another point of disappointment. I was actually scheduled with a fellow I'd mentioned to take care of my wife and family. Jerry Carr and Bill Pogue were assigned to me as a crew when I was the backup commander on Apollo 16. And that put me into the rotation. Like three missions later, I would have flown 19. So it was just another point of disappointment when I knew that chance had gone away to get back and try to make a landing.
We're speaking with Fred Hayes, former NASA astronaut. He was one of the men that was on Apollo 13. Now, after Apollo, you were a commander of the space shuttle test ship, the Enterprise. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we had a program before we got to the orbital bird Columbia to fly a small aircraft test program out at Edwards Air Force Base. Actually, where I had been before with NASA, I was a NASA test pilot for 7 years. And when I came into the astronaut program, for me, it was just another transfer from that center at Edwards, NASA's Flight Research Center. And we flew eight flights, an eight-flight test program. I got to fly five of the eight, where we used the 747 carrier aircraft that later carted the shuttle across the country if it landed at Edwards from orbit. We used that vehicle to hoist us up to altitude, and on the earlier flights with the tail cone on it, we'd get up to about 30,000. And Fitz Fulton, who was flying the craft, would push over and get us to a point of separation. And we'd do glide tests to landing on the big dry lake, Rogers Dry Lake, at Edwards Air Force Base.
Wow.
Okay.
Fred, you know, obviously, you know, with every passing day, year, so on. Today, of course, very significant since Apollo 13, you guys landing safely back to Earth. It's been 50 years today. Just out of my own curiosity, do you still have either like dreams or flashbacks so many years later of moments during flight or during your mission or coming back to Earth? Like, do you ever have flashbacks in these last 50 years?
No, not that way. No, I of course am reminding of it constantly because I've talked at events ever since then. Some just Skype events with schools and of late and with children, but at public forums of different types, conventions, conferences, you know, on and on. So I've had to sort of repeat the story many times over these past 50 years. So the details in that respect have stayed pretty fresh.
And is there anything that you can share with maybe some children that are out there that are listening who dream of becoming an astronaut or dream of working with the space program? Anything that you can share with them?
Well, I tell children, you know, dreams are great. And the thought of being an astronaut or a test pilot, for that matter, is exciting. But I said the thing you really got to figure out as you are growing up is how best to use the skills you've been blessed with, what you've been born with, and how to match them with the career path that makes sense for that talent you have. We're all different. And I said, if you can figure that out, then meeting goals or achieving the goal you have in mind will be easier because even the work you have to do to get there, the training, the experience, further education, it won't seem as much like work. It'll seem like fun if you're doing something that you're basically were born with and made to do. And it's great because when you, as you get there, even going to work, and that's not necessarily every day, but most days you'll enjoy and look forward to going to work.
Yeah. That's so neat.
That's my message anyway.
and then just only for my own personal question, Fred, my son, who's a toddler, very, very small, but my husband and I have noticed that he takes a lot of interest in anything space. You know, one of his favorite songs is Rocket Man by Elton John. So we joke a lot, you know, hey, our kid's going to be an astronaut, which, of course, every parent, you know, wants to think that. How difficult is it to become an astronaut? I know that may seem like a very elementary question, but, you know, how it seems like a very rigorous process to actually become an astronaut.
Well, it depends on which, I call it which type. When I joined, they were still looking for, I'll call it more pilots with some test flying experience. Because we were part of developing a machinery, not just flying it. And we're all engineers as well. There's another whole cadre that's probably the bigger group today involved that are more scientists in one variety or another, because that's kind of the mission today. The big mission is space station. And it's a laboratory on orbit, so you don't need a test pilot. Up there, it's already built and operating. So you need more people who are working on experiments.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, Fred, Tony and I were just actually saying we're going to let you go, but we just had one more quick question for you. 50 years later, we're, of course, celebrating the fact that Apollo 13, you guys made it back to Earth safely 50 years ago today. If you knew then what you know now, would you still be a pilot? Would you have still gotten on Apollo 13? Like, would you still have done things the way that you did?
Certainly. I loved aviation. I mean, actually, that got me off course. I was interested initially, call it first career path, was as a journalist. My first 2 years of college, I majored in journalism. So the Korean War is what you want to call it, got me off track. Because I wanted to serve my country, and the program I went into, the Naval Aviation Cadet Program, led me to be a naval aviator, and I served in two Marine fighter squadrons. And that's what I just love flying. And I said, I'm no longer a journalist. I'm now somehow going to have a career in aviation. There wasn't no space program yet, so I couldn't think about that. So that's what got me on, call it the right path to where I ended up.
Well, Fred, we are very, very glad that you dropped journalism and got into aviation. That's for sure. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Fred Hayes, we've run out of time here, and I know you don't think this way, but you are truly an American hero, and it was our honor to have you here today. Thank you for your service to this country, and please stay well, because we need guys like you in the United States of America. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fred.
All right. Thank you.
All
Have a
right.
good day.
You
stay,
too.
Stay safe.